Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
So today I want to talk to you, about forgiveness and renewal. I think the two of them go away, so this is going to be another building block in this series where we once again take a look and think just for a few moments about the forgiveness and releasing anything in our heart that would hinder what God wants to do. So I want to talk to you today, and one of my favorite passages of Scripture is found over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 28 through 31. So there's a couple of words that I want us to really focus in on here in this message this morning. But before we get that, I need to create some tension. So let's read the verse, and then I'll try to create some tension for us, and then we'll look at those two words. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Oh, what an incredible picture right there. And I would think that most of us can identify with what he's talking about. He says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And of course, this is scripture. This is the verse we really want to focus on this morning. Is but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Lord, today, as we have been enjoying your presence, once again, we come before you and we just lay everything down. We lay this message down before you. We just lay our thoughts. Help us, Lord, today as a congregation, just to be focused on what you are saying to us today. Help us to hear what you want us to hear. And so, Lord, as we enter into this time and this message, we want to say thank you, Holy Spirit, for causing this message to come alive and also find its resting place in all of our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a little bit of history for where I've come from. Back in the late 70s, at the age of 26, I became a senior pastor for the Perry Sound Pentecostal Tabernacle. And I had previously been the youth pastor at a church over in Brantford. It was called Evangel Church. And during that time, while I was at Evangel Church, I was underneath the leadership of a pastor, great pastor, experienced pastor. And his name was Dick Green. And he wanted me to come in every day and meet him at the office. And then he would talk to me, and he picked up something about my lifestyle early on. And it's something that really I've struggled with throughout ministry. And he said to me, he says, Charlie, you need to know how to react slowly. So there had been something that had gone on. And maybe he saw me as a knee-jerk young pastor that just reacting to all kinds of things going here and there and so forth. Like that. And so he said, Charlie, you got to react slowly. And so the words really stung. So back in those days, we had what we call as a day timer, and it was the precursor to the iPhone, it was one of those things. And I got one of those old embossing guns, and I typed out the words "react slowly," so that every day I would look at this day timer and try to remind myself that I was to react slowly. I struggled with this. And so I was only there for a couple years in Brantford, and then I went to Perry Sound. Perry Sound's a really laid-back community. And one day, I needed to make a pastoral visit, and it was to a family who lived in Broadbent, Ontario. Have you ever been to Broadbent, Ontario? Well, I'll tell you, it's way out in the boonies. And it's out there. It's one of those places that it's just a couple of dirt roads that come together, and they got the old cedar rail fence, and that's how you know you're at broadband. But I didn't know how to get there. And so all I knew is that it was located close to Herdville. So I went to Herdville. And as I was in Herdville, and I'm this guy coming from Brantford, Ontario, and our pace of life is much faster than it was up in Parry Sound. And so I come across a farmer who was outstanding in his field. That was supposed to be funny. Okay. I really did come across a farmer outstanding in his field, and I asked him for directions. I said, "Sir, can you tell me how to get to broadband?" And I thought it was a fair question, and his response to me was, as he had his one hand in his pocket, and you know how farmers kind of stand there, and he said to me, "It's going to be a bad season for the black flies." And as he was kind of looking around, he hemmed and hawed a bit. And as I would learn later, all he wanted to do was talk to me. I'm sure he was going to give me the directions in time, and he did. But all he wanted to do was talk to me. And he could tell that this young whippersnapper, wherever he was from, is in a hurry. And he's got to slow down. I did finally get the directions to Broadbent, and it was amazing. I want to talk to you about slowing down. We live in a society that is so fear pitch. We're on this merry-go-round, and we're going. And Pastor Chad, I think, alluded to it a little bit this morning when he's talking about, after an hour and a half, let's get going. We got to get on. We got things to do the rest of the day. I came across some alarming stats, and this is where the tension comes in. I want to create some tension here this morning, because what I want to talk about won't happen unless we slow down. The message, what the Lord wants to get to us today, it won't happen unless we slow down. The average American, get this, the average American spends 5 hours and 24 minutes on their mobile device each day. On average, get this, on average, the Americans check their phones at least, and I came across this, 2,617 times a day. Okay, so the facts were this. They check their phones 96 times, per day, but then they just kind of touch their phone over 2,000 times. Now, just think about that for a moment. While I was preparing this message, and I've been working on it for a couple of months now, I came across an article about a Dutch supermarket. And over in Holland, in this one Dutch supermarket, they have what they call is a slow lane. Because the seniors, they just want to talk. And so they created this lane at this grocery store so that instead of rushing up and, paying, so like, you kind of just stand in line and you talk and have conversation and kind of just get caught up with what's happening in life. Slowing down. Getting in the slow lane. We're not very good at it. The other day, we were at a minister's gathering, and one of the pastors shared a quote. He talked about this these Aboriginals over in Australia. He said there was a nomadic tribe of Aborigines in Australia. They were being observed by some anthropologist. They were traveling in the desert, and this group of Aboriginals, they would stop for no apparent reason, not to get food or water or to relieve themselves. And finally, they were asked, "Well, why do you stop occasionally?" And they said, "We stop to let our souls catch up with us. We stop to let our souls catch up with us." Can you identify with that? We stop to let our souls catch up with us. Slowing down requires discipline and intentionality. There are certain messages from the Lord we can only hear when we are still. Think about that. There are certain messages that we can only hear from the Lord when we are still. Being in a rush, going here and there, doesn't cut it with our Lord. There are messages that he can only communicate to us when we are still. There are words the Holy Spirit wants to release in our spirit. And I call them, this is not an act, just kind of work with me a little bit, but I call them spiritual endorphins. As you know, I am an instructor at a spin class at the local Y. I've invited all of you to come and show up, and none of you have so far. I'm not taking that personal, but anyhow, if you were to come to my class, you would discover because of our routines that endorphins are released, the serotonin just flows. I mean, you walk out of my class, you're sweaty, but you walk out of my class feeling good. I mean, your appetite is increased. Matter of fact, you can eat more after you come out of my class because your endorphins were released. I'd like to think that there's something like spiritual endorphins, and it's just the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But for the last 2 weeks, Pastor Carlo has been preaching about some major roadblocks in our Christian walk. Our series has been entitled Foreign Forgiveness, because we don't forgive as much as we should. And the message is clear that we need to get better at forgiving others. And then last week, he really hit us hard with forgiving ourselves. So why? Why the emphasis on forgiveness and forgiveness and forgiving one another and forgiving ourselves? Well, I believe what one of the major pieces that the Holy Spirit is communicating to us is so that we can experience renewal. I just really sense that we sense the winds and the breezes of renewal blowing right in our church as we did this morning. But I'm talking this morning about personal renewal. See, here's my conviction is that God wants you and I to experience renewal every day. Every day that God has a personal appointment, a personal encounter with us that he would love to have so that you and I can experience spiritual renewal. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, let me read the verse again. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So there's two words that I want to draw your attention to this morning. The first word is wait. So as preparing this message, and the wait, you can't get around it. The waiting requires that we slow down. That we find that place, and as I already pointed out, we have a lot of distractions in life that get in our way that hinder it. But actually, the distractions that you and I get caught up in, I don't think they're going to hold water when we stand before the Lord. When he said, "Why didn't you wait for me? I had all kinds of things that I wanted to do in your life. I really wanted to come, and I wanted to release my Holy Spirit in you, but you were too busy, or you're caught up in the hurried pace of life." So today there's a message that the Holy Spirit is talking to us about waiting. What I found as I just kind of zeroed in on the word wait in this verse, it has at least four different meanings. And I want to share. And I think when I talk about waiting, all these four kind of fit in somehow, some way, at different ways. So listen closely. I hope you take some notes on it, because I really believe that the Holy Spirit is saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to know what it is to wait. I want you to know what it is to wait in my presence so that I can speak to you. And there's something that I want to release in you. So number one, the word wait never means just praying. Sometimes what we think of when we talk about waiting, that we get into, okay, I'm going to pray, and then we talk about the prayer request, and we talk about all the kind of things. No. Actually, one of the meanings of the word wait is to wait still and not pray. Not say anything. Just be silent and just allow his Holy Spirit to rise from within you. Prayer is always important. We always need, there'll always be time for us to make our requests known to the Lord. So prayer is always important and should be a precedent to waiting on the Lord, or precedent is what I mean, is before we get to this point, okay, Lord, I'm going to be still, pray out your request, whatever it is. If you're, just in case you don't think the Lord knows about it, you're kind of concerned that he's not really in tune. He is, but if you need to make him known, go ahead, let him know, but then learn what it is to be still. So prayer is always important and should be a precedent or preceding to waiting on the Lord. One of the authors I came across, it was a Frenchman by the name of Follett, and he said this. This was in 1975. He made this quote. He said, "We are living." Now think about it. 1975, we are now in 2023. He says, "We are living in an age of intense activity." That's what he was thinking back in 1975. We are living in an age of intense activity. I wonder what he would be saying if he were with us today. Time is needed today for proper adjustment to our Lord and Savior, to him. Our vision properly focused. We get blurry and the vision that focuses on, or the things that God wants us to see, can get distorted. Our hearts need to be hushed and our minds subdued. You know, it would be an interesting exercise. I'm not going to do it this morning, but it'd be an interesting exercise. Okay, I want everyone to be still for 1 minute. And I just want you to just focus on, don't say anything. And just find just 1 minute of how difficult that could be. But the Lord wants us to know what it is just to wait in his presence. And allow him, just allow him to settle upon us. So time is needed today for proper adjustment to him. Our vision properly focused, our hearts hushed, and our minds subdued. The second meaning for wait is this one. The second meaning of the word wait carries the thought of expectation and hope. As we are in his presence and as we are waiting, it's come, okay, God, what do you want to do today? What do you want to accomplish, and to allow what would be missing, allow hope to rise, as we are thoroughly convinced of the absolute need of expecting from him everything for the maintenance of the new life. And so that was one word. As we are thoroughly convinced of the absolute need, and we sang a song this morning and really captured this verse and said, "I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you." That's not just a cliche. That's not a pie in the sky, but it's a reality. Yeah, God, really, if you don't come in on my scene, I'm going to just continue on the old same pattern. I'm going to continue to try to make it through life in my own efforts. And the Lord says, I don't want you to go on your own. I don't want you to try to do it on your own life or your own strength. He says, our expectation of what God is about is to do. Our expectation of what God is about to do is key to our hope. And just, God, we know that you're up to something. God, we know that you want to come and move in our church. We know that you want to come and move in our communities and in our neighborhoods, in our country. And we look around and say, God, how much more can our world continue to go in this spiral that's going away from God and going away from his ways and plans and purposes, going away from what the Word of God says? He said, but in this time of waiting, our expectation, God, we need you to do your work on behalf, or our hope fades quickly. However, if we are like the psalmist who said, my expectation comes from him, it is from him. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. And then the psalmist says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave, courageous. Yes, wait patiently for him. Lots of instruction from the scripture about waiting. Over in Psalm 62, verse 5, it says, let all that I am, get here, listen to this again, wait quietly before God. My hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will not be shaken. The third meaning for the word wait, found here in Isaiah chapter 40, is the third meaning of wait is to watch or to observe or to take notice. Proverbs 8:33 says this: listen to my instructions and be wise. Don't ignore them. In other words, watch, observe, take notes. Joyful are those who listen to me and they're watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside of my home. Okay, Lord, I'm here. What do you want me to do today? And where do you want me to go? I'm listening. And so for whoever finds me, the psalmist says, finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Favor of the Lord. How many want favor? How many want the favor of the Lord upon your life? We want his favor upon our lives, for sure. And so the picture is one of a soldier or a servant just waiting at the door, ready to do whatever his master requires of him. What's this? Here I am, Lord, send me. So you can see that waiting on the Lord has, it's got some different sides to it, but it's all included of us taking time to wait. And number four, the fourth meaning of the word wait is to serve or to minister. So the things that we can do in response to him, it's being just so close to the heart of the Lord. The classic example is found over in 2 Samuel verse 23 and or chapter 23, and it tells a story about David when he was fleeing from the enemy, and that he was, you know, one day he got really thirsty. He said, oh man, I'd just like to have a drink of water from this special well that was now in the enemy's territory. And David had these mighty men that were close to him. David had these men that just knew his heart. David really didn't have to say anything to them. And all David would have to do is look, and they knew how to respond. They knew how to engage in war and so forth. But on this particular day, these three men, David didn't say anything to them directly at all. He just a sigh. And these three men, it says in the Word of God that, man, they took off. They took off, and they risked their lives. They went into the enemy's territory, and they went in, and they took the like a jug, and they got it filled with water, and then they brought it back to David. And David said, what's this? He says, well, this is the water that you wanted. And it was at that moment of expectation. Of course, David says, I can't drink it. I can't drink it because it's the price that you paid. You risked your lives for it. I can't drink it. I got to pour it out to the Lord. So they were so close, these three men, they were so close to their master. So when he uttered a sigh, they were ready to risk their lives for a drink of water. It was not a command. It was just a sigh. And there's something about just being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't always come and hit us hard with scriptures and really, you know, put us against the wall or so forth. Holy Spirit most often will nudge us with just that, this is, I want you to do, I want you to go here, go there. You know, it's just in our as we go throughout life. So here's a summary statement of the four meanings, just in case you didn't catch it all. And this is probably a good slide to take a look at and just be aware of it. So it says, to wait upon God is to have the heart hushed or silent in an expectant attitude, to hear what he might say and that we might do his bidding. To wait upon God is to have the heart hushed or silent in an expectant attitude, to hear what he might say and that we might do his bidding. So that's all about the word wait. Isaiah the prophet said, if we wait upon the Lord, something's going to happen. He said, then our strength would be renewed. And I'm going to try to go through this quickly, but I don't want you to miss what happens here. He says, when we are renewed, the prophet was talking about, Isaiah was talking about, when we are renewed, something happens that God and God alone can do. So that's why there was the emphasis. You've got to wait upon the Lord. Why? Because God wants to do something in our life, but he's the only one that can do that. We can't do this on our own. It's up to God. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, and this will help you understand a little bit more. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for us. Christ came and he took our sin. The sinless took our sin and we became righteous because of what Christ did. It was an exchange. It was an exchange that Christ did on our behalf. He became sin for us. We call it the great exchange because none of us here could do what Christ did for us on the cross. It was the heavenly exchange program that took place at Calvary. But you need to know that the exchange program did not cease at Calvary. That God's heavenly exchange program continues to happen today. And that's what the word renew means. When he said, and as you wait upon the Lord, your strength will be renewed. That there's an exchange. There's a heavenly exchange that takes place. The word renew actually means to exchange, for example, our weakness for his strength. And the word of God says that when we are weak, he is strong. And so when we're waiting in his presence, we're coming there with the cares and the concerns and the things that have weighed us down, and we feel weak in the natural part. This is when God says, as you wait in my presence, here's what I want to do. I want to take your weakness and I want to exchange it for my strength. I want to come and renew your strength. The picture one gets when you allow this statement to sink in is one of us giving up something so that we in turn will receive something. In this case, it is us giving up our weakness in exchange for his supernatural strength. When we are weak, he is strong. All right, try to follow me here. In God's kingdom, that's the way it works. If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, the word of God talks, man, you start moving mountains. And God takes those small things and he exchanges them for a supernatural faith. If you mourn, if you grieve, and you're waiting in that presence, when the time of mourning or grief, guess what? As you wait in his presence, what does he want to do? He wants to come and he wants to exchange the mourning. He wants to turn it into joy. But this is the exchange, and that's what he does. If you mourn, you will be comforted. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 or 21 says, since God in his wisdom saw that that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. There's always, God is doing something so different. His ways are so much higher. They are so much above the world. That's why he says, I'm going to use preaching to confuse the wise of the world. And that's why it's so important that when you and I, as we carry the cares and the concerns from yesterday and the people and the things that we know, oh man, they're kind of weighing us down. But God says, if you will come to me, if you will wait in my presence, I want you to know I have a heavenly exchange for you. I want you to know there's something that I want to renew in your life. And I listen, this is what God does. This is not about you just being a better person. And that's good. And you will be a better person, but it's not because of what you do. It's about what God does as you wait in the presence. So the point I'm making this morning is God is in control. And when his people seek his face, all kinds of good things happen. Isaiah said, when we wait upon the Lord, our strength will be renewed. We will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. On April the 2nd, down at the river, by that time, the ice will be gone. And there's a tradition that takes place here in Stratford, and it's called the annual parade of the swans. And the swans will be released. And it's always interesting to see what happens when the swans are released from their holding place, wherever it is over there by Almond Arena. They march out, these swans, and they all go waddling down to the river. But something inside of them happens when they get to the river. They think they can fly. They think they can fly, and it's hilarious. They all get going, and the next thing, one starts flapping its wings, and they start flapping, and they only get about 6 or 7 feet above the water, and they're trying everything that they can to get going because that's something inside. Well, that's what we got wings for. We're going to be airborne, and sooner or later, they get tired, and they come back down, and they never get any higher. You know why? Because their wings have been clipped. Their wings have been clipped. You know what's happened? Their flight feathers. Their flight feathers that they normally require in order to fly and to gain a different perspective, to gain the heavenly perspective, they've been clipped. They have been clipped. And it's hilarious. And the only way that they ever will be able to fly and gain a different perspective, because otherwise all they can do is fly about 6 or 10 feet above the water, and their wings you can hear flapping the water, and sooner they're back down in the lake and they're waddling around again because their wings have been clipped. So you see, Isaiah said, when we wait in the presence of the Lord, what he does is he renews our strength. He comes and he exchanges our weakness. He takes those cares and those concerns from yesterday that came along and they clipped our wings. Those things, those experiences from the past that held us down, that came along and clipped our flight feathers. They came down and clipped us down. But what Isaiah is saying is that when we wait in the presence of the Lord, he comes and he renews our strength. And guess what happens? Our spiritual flight feathers start to grow back. Because when we're weighed down about the concerns and the cares, all we can see is the things around us. And our perspective is limited. And we always wonder what is going on. But when God comes and when he renews our strength and our flight feathers start to grow back up, guess what? We start to fly. And no longer are we limited to 6 feet. But we begin to soar above. And our perspective changes because we get up where God wants us to go. And that's why the prophet said, he said, when you wait upon the Lord, you start flapping. And you go to new heights, and you see where God wants you to go. Your flight feathers grow back. And then he says, not only will your strength be renewed, and you'll mount up with wings as eagles, that you will run and not be weary, and you will walk, and you will not faint. Our perspective changes. I think I'm almost done. Let me leave this verse with you. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary afflictions or troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I'm asking the worship team to come back. So here's what I think. I've been really wrestling what to do here at the end, but this is what I'm going to think, and I'm going to share it with you, and I'm just going to ask the prayer team to come, and prayer team, you just take your place around the front of the altar, and I think in some figurative way, here's what I think the Holy Spirit wants to give us an opportunity. God, He wants us to exchange our cares, our concerns, the people in our lives, those things in our life that would weigh us down, those things that are in our lives that would clip our wings, those our weakness for his strength, our mourning for joy, our disappointment for hope, our low self-esteem for his banner over us is love. Our old man for new man. Our mistakes for his grace and his mercy. Our inadequacy for his armor. And not only does he want to give us his armor, but I believe that he wants to anoint the armor. I believe that he wants to pour the oil upon the armor so that it glistens. And so that when the sun hits the armor, I mean, it's just dazzling. And it just causes the enemy to run the other way. Because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I'm asking you to stand. Now, this is yours. This is yours. This morning, so I want you to think about it. I want you to think that the Holy Spirit wants to renew. And this morning, all you need to do is exchange any of those things that I mentioned beyond, more than that, okay? And so, I'm going to give you a chance today to come to the front. Come to the front with the thing that you know that the Holy Spirit just spoke to you about that needs to be exchanged. Could be a concern, could be a care. It doesn't matter. But I want you to know this, that if you come today and say, God, this is what I've been carrying, and this has been bogging me down, it's got me down, and my perspective is really being affected here. Yeah, because your flight feathers have been clipped. Yeah, yeah, they've been clipped. But I want you to know this morning that the Lord wants you to leave here with your flight feathers. The Lord wants you to leave this place today with your wings being renewed so that you can rise above. And that you'll run and not be weary and walk not faint. So they're going to sing this chorus, and I'm going to give you an opportunity. And what I'm asking you to do, all you have to do is come up front and just kind of say, go to Gary, put your hand out, Gary. And just give it to Gary. Come up with every concern. Lord, we thank you today that it's when we come that we wait in your presence, that a heavenly exchange takes place. And Father, Lord, our strength indeed is strength. So Lord, I just bless this congregation. Thank you, Father, for what you're teaching us. Thank you, Father, for the personal experience, the personal renewal that you're bringing us all together for, so that we prepare our hearts for what you are about to do next. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory.
Blessed you and encourage you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.